The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head for to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's?" When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It's time now for the children to come forward. Come on up for our children's time together. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I was here a couple weeks ago. I might have met some of you. I'm Pastor Deb. Happy to be visiting with you today. And I thought today we'd talk a little bit about rules. Does anybody have any rules they follow in their house or at school? Any of you guys have some rules? Yeah, a couple of you? Okay. Well, I brought some family rules here today that one family I know has. So tell me if any of these are familiar. No running in the house. Anybody? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about this one? Bad moods belong in your bedroom. That's not bad, right? Sort of, kind of. Okay. How about this? No play fighting or feet fighting. All right. And here's a good one at the end, I think. Listen to each other. Those are good rules. Yeah. Have you heard that rule before? Yeah. Yeah. And you have too? This whole list? Yeah. All right. Yeah, you too. Lots of rules. Well, you know, we have rules. Sometimes they're hard to follow. Some are easier than others, right? But we have rules to help us live together, right? To take care of each other, to stay safe, right? To love one another. Just to make our days go a little bit better, right? We have rules at home with our family. We have rules to go to school. We probably even have a few rules in this church, right? So today I want us to think just a little bit about how even God gives us rules, right? So that we can care for each other and help each other out when we need to and live together. But you know, the most important rule God gives us is not a rule at all. It's a promise that God gives us. Yeah, it's a promise that God gives us to love us no matter what, right? Because if you're like me, you probably break rules sometimes, right? Maybe even when you're not trying. Yes, we get a few nods here, yeah. Yeah, so even when we have a hard time following rules or we hurt other people, right? We don't always do what we're supposed to. We can remember and hold on to the promise God gives us that God loves us. Dear God, thank you for rules. Help us to love each other. Thank you for loving us. Always. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming up today, guys. All right. Well, I'm kind of excited today. I have to tell you, because when I graduated college a few years ago, I graduated with a degree in American history, and my parents lamented the fact that I would never use this degree. Well, today I feel like a bit of their hard work to put me through college is finally going to pay off. Because today, as we continue the series this summer, Knit Together in Christ, we are invited to reflect on the church and government, on faith and politics. At last, my two great loves coming together in one sermon. Fantastic. Well, friends, we live in a country that was founded on many principles of freedom. One of those freedoms is the freedom of religion. The very First Amendment to our Constitution guarantees citizens of this country freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and the freedom to assemble. It is in this country's DNA that the government cannot tell an individual what religion to practice, and that no one religion runs the government. We call it separation of church and state. And consequently, in this country, we have many thoughts and feelings and experiences around the church and the government, around faith and politics. These are personal, messy, sometimes even painful topics for us. Faith and politics, church and government. And we have strong emotions and opinions around faith and politics because they make up the very fabric of our lives. Faith and politics define for us who we are, what our values are, what we believe, what we hope for. And today we find that we are not alone in conflict and in questions that surround church and government. Our first reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans and speaks about governing authorities to people who were living as Christians under Roman rule. Now, I will tell you, I appreciate many of Paul's insights into God's grace, Jesus, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the beauty and the struggle of being a part of the church. But there are times when Paul's words make me want to argue. And Romans chapter 13 is one of those times. Paul writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God." Really? I can think of plenty of governing authorities throughout history and in our world today that do not necessarily govern with justice or compassion or love, but instead with violence and greed and fear. Are all leaders and all governments really instituted by God? Well, these words from Paul that we hear today were written for the church in Rome. And he is writing in a time when there were political tensions all around. So I ask you to stretch your imagination here today to try to imagine a country or a city filled with political tension. I know, take a moment. Take a moment. When people live together who have different faiths and cultures and backgrounds, there is going to be tension. Especially when the government, as in Paul's time, had the power to dictate who people should worship and give allegiance to and obey. So Paul is speaking to people who are trying to live out their faith and follow God's ways while living under the rule of Caesar. Paul says that Christians should live under the government in power because government is meant to do good and be an instrument of good from God. Government and the leaders of government are meant to provide order for the good of all. Now, what it means when a government abuses power and inflicts suffering and injustice, Paul does not exactly address right here. Well, in our Lutheran tradition, we have some special language that I think adds to this conversation that we're having today for what it means to live as Christians in this world. Martin Luther described two kingdoms ruled by God's left hand and God's right hand. God holds the whole world, Luther said, both kingdoms in God's hands. God's left-hand way of governing, the secular government, is ruled by law and includes everything that contributes to the preservation of this earthly life: marriage and family, the household, property, business, all stations in life. According to Luther, order has to be kept in this kingdom with force if necessary, he says. Now, God's right-hand way of governing, the spiritual government, brings the kingdom of God into being. This kingdom is ruled by grace. Christ exercises his government by giving God's love and grace and forgiveness to people, to us, who are in bondage to sin and death. And Luther says that this kingdom brings freedom, but not by force. Both kingdoms have been established by one and the same God. Just as they are both experienced in this life, they cannot be separated. Christians live in both kingdoms and should do so with love and joy and respect for all people. Now, you might have noticed the title for today's theme as Warp and Weft. And if you're like me, you might have thought, what does that mean? That's a good Lutheran question. And what do these terms have to do with faith and politics? So let's clear that up for anyone not familiar with these words. So picture in your mind's eye a loom and a weaver who is weaving. Weft is the thread or the yarn that is drawn through, over and under, the lengthwise warp yarns that are held in tension on a frame for the weaver. A tapestry is made by repeatedly weaving the horizontal weft threads over and under the vertical warp threads. Although you cannot see them in a finished tapestry, those vertical warp threads are vital components of each piece. They are the backbone of every tapestry and provide the support for those weft threads, the colors that gradually build up and form a tapestry's picture. So these two sets of threads going in opposite directions are woven together to form a tapestry. They work together to form something strong and beautiful. And this is one way, one image for us today as we consider the conflict and the strength we find at the intersection of faith and politics. The two kingdoms that Luther speaks of, the two ways God governs, is like this image of the warp and weft. Both are established by God. Both are necessary in this world. We live at the same time in both kingdoms. Now, I said earlier that I wanted to argue with Paul, but I have to tell you that what I have learned from my wrestling with Paul is that he always has more to say. And Paul has more to say to us about how we are to live as Christians and citizens. In Romans chapter 13, in verses 8, 9, and 10, Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This talk of love having ultimate authority is also our lead into chapter 13. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 gives us these words from Paul as well. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul knew, as we do today, that there is evil in this world, that faith and politics and government and the church bring us into conflict with each other from time to time, that government strays from God's intention for us to live together in community with love, just as the church sometimes loses its way from proclaiming and living out God's love. Paul invites us to wrestle today with the two kingdoms we live in, to be engaged in and appreciate the intersection of the secular and the spiritual, overcome evil with good, to respond to our neighbor in love. Now, I appreciate the fact that faith and politics can and do bring us into conflict with our neighbors and our friends and our family. In the home I grew up in, my dad was a devout Republican, and my mom was a progressive Democrat. It wasn't until I was in high school, I think, that I realized that not all parents were like my own. It was perfectly normal in my house to sit around the dinner table and argue about political issues and politicians. And those arguments in my house included faith and the church. What does it mean to love your neighbor in terms of the law and government? How do we address war and poverty and taxes and education and healthcare as Christians and as citizens? My parents often answered those questions differently. As Christians and as citizens, you and I are faced with difficult questions every day. And Paul opens up this conversation for us today, whether or not you agree or disagree with him. We cannot separate ourselves into secular and spiritual people. You and I are meant to live and be a part of this world as instruments of God's love in our communities, in our families, in our schools, in our government, in our neighborhoods, in our work, and in our church. God has created our whole world just as a weaver creates a beautiful tapestry, using threads that make up our very insights and opinions, hopes and fears, experiences and gifts, all woven together in ways that we may never fully understand or see. So today, God invites you to see how God is at work in every part of your life and wants you to be about God's work in this world as well. God shows us today that we are woven together with law and with grace, but most importantly, with love. This world is God's creation. You are God's creation. And God has woven us together in love. Love that binds us and strengthens us and creates a beautiful tapestry. Amen.